Praise be Jesus and Mary. And the first reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, in which he says, so that we might exist for the praise of his glory. Right, this is what we exist for the praise of the glory of God. And we do that by faith, as this reading says, we who have heard the word of truth, the gospel, for our salvation, we have believed in him. Okay, so it is by faith, embracing the truth that has been revealed to us, and by living a holy life, okay, by observing God's commandments. This gives praise to the glory of God. And if an entire people, a nation, were to embrace the true faith and live according to it, then that nation would be blessed. That's what we read about in the responsorial psalm. Blessed the nation whose God is the Lord. That is, they acknowledge, they profess, they proclaim faith in the one true God, the most holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, whose God is the Lord. That is, they serve him and they observe his commandments. A nation who does that will receive many, many blessings from God. But what about the nation whose God is not the Lord, who has set up false idols for their God, idols such as money, pleasure, and convenience? What about that nation? You know, we think about the abortion industry, right? How they've set up money as their God. It is a massive moneymaker. And they are willing to bow down and worship this God of money and offer him sacrifices, right? The sacrifice of the lives of the unborn. So those are the ones who are responsible for the abortion industry. But then we think about how we, the members of this society, allow that to go on. Why? Because it serves as a second chance when contraception has failed, right? Emergency contraception. And so there, we're bowing down to the God of pleasure and convenience. And so a nation that sets up these false gods in place of the one true God and does not observe the commandments of God, but instead violates them in such a grave way, that nation will not be blessed. And this is what Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta meant when she said, the fruit of abortion is nuclear war. Our Lady of Fatima revealed to us that this is how God punishes mankind for its sins. One of the ways is by means of war. And so this is all adding up and making sense, which then brings us to the gospel, where our Lord says that those who do have faith and do observe the commandments, that is, those who are his friends, right? You are my friends if you do what I command you. That's what Jesus said. And so those who are the friends of God, living in the state of grace, he says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but after that can do no more. Right? This threat of persecution, that type of thing. I shall show you whom to fear. Be afraid of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast into Gehenna. Yes, I tell you, be afraid of that one. And so our Lord is saying, don't be afraid of losing your life for my sake, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of maintaining your soul in the state of grace. But he says, be afraid of losing the state of grace and dying in that state, because then you will be cast into Gehenna for all eternity. And that is the only thing that we should fear, right? And so we should be willing to lay down our lives rather than violate the laws of God. Now think about the nurse out there who is pressured to assist in abortion. And she says, oh, but, you know, if I don't do this, I will lose my job. And then if I lose my job, I won't be able to care for my family. You know, God doesn't expect that of me, does he? Well, he expects actually more than that. And see, this is where faith and trust in God, he has control over everything. As this is the first reading that says, the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will. Right? And again, are not five sparrows sold for two small coins? Yet not one of them has escaped the notice of God. Even the hairs of your head have all been counted. Do not be afraid. So you may lose your job, but God will provide. And in fact, we're expected not only to lose our jobs, but also to lose our lives, if necessary. So remember, all things pass. Heaven and hell will remain. And so now we look to the example of the lives of the saints of old, the martyrs of old, and we see what incredible examples they have, right? Not only are they willing to lose their jobs, they're willing to lose their lives. And not only for observing precepts, you know, commandments, but also for the sake of observing counsels, things which aren't even obligatory per se. And so we go to the example of Pope Saint Clement, Saints Nereus and Acheleus, and Saint Domitilia, right? The saying of Christ has reference to a necessary precept. It is the saying that we just read in the gospel. He commands us not to break the faith which we have pledged to God through fear of tyrants, nor to violate his law. Nevertheless, it may be extended to things which are counseled, not commanded. But then it is a matter of counsel, not of precept, not obligatory. Thus, Pope Saint Clement extended it to the Council of Virginity. When Saints Nereus and Acheleus, who were the servants of Saint Domitilla, she was betrothed to Aurelian, the son of the Roman consul at the time. So Saints Nereus and Acheleus are her servants, and they come, and what do? They counsel her to embrace virginity for the sake of the kingdom of God. And they know that if they do that, that Aurelian is going to be enraged and may very well take their lives. And so they asked Saint Clement, who was Pope at the time, to give her the veil of virginity and to consecrate her to God as a virgin. And what did the Pope say? Did the Pope say, well, this wouldn't be wise, you know, it's not required to give up our lives, and instead, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to give witness to the truth, to the love of God, and the excellence of virginity, he says, for you, for her, and for me, I perceive there is prepared the palm of martyrdom. But for as much as Christ has ordered us not to fear them which kill the body, let us disregard mortal men, that we may plainly and wholly obey the author of everlasting life. He therefore consecrated Domitilia a virgin. When Aurelian, her betrothed, heard this, he had Saints Nereus and Acheleus tortured and beheaded, and banished Domitilia to the land of Pontus. She was sent into exile, where she finally underwent martyrdom by fire. At last, Saint Clement, being drowned in the sea, obtained the same palm of martyrdom. Thus were there four glorious victims of virginity. And the heroism of their action consisted in this, that it would have been lawful for them to persuade Domitilia to avoid the persecution by marrying Aurelian. But the love of chastity and of Christ gained the victory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.